So you exit the beer cave.
Yeah.
Goro is standing there.
Do I bump into Tink on the way in?
No. We're gonna get back to Tink. Don't you worry. as you make it to the very front of the beer cave, like you're pushing yourself through this this curtain, this plastic curtain, right? You see Goro, and Goro's coming the other way, through the doors that you came in from. And Goro is, like, in full Goro stance. Goro has worked up a sweat, glistening in his violence, having destroyed this thing. Past Goro's shoulder, you can see a cactus man, a tiny cactus man in a cowboy hat, just screaming into the darkness as fast as his tiny cactus legs can carry him.
Do I speak Cactar?
I don't know. You might. I mean, they speak American, most of them. Because, again, I just want to say, every time I say American is like, that is a language in Rifts. The American continent has one language. It's not, yeah. Yeah, you see him going that way. But before, like, you and Goro make eye contact, right? And then, Tink.
I indicate with my eyes that Goro should go check this dude out.
You won't believe what's back there.
like half of my eyes look left and the other half look really wide.
All right. So Goro, are you taking, so we'll come back to you in a second. Are you taking his advice here, Goro?
Sure. Why not? There's something crazy back there.
All right. So you have to duck to get into the beer cave, right? It's built for regular baseline native to Earth humans. And you take one of your hand. Are you putting away your swords, or are you just carrying them? And so you got four arms, and I'm always kind of at a loss for what you're doing with them at any point in time.
I think at all time, he tends to have at least, you know, a shield and a sword out, and the other two swords sheathed.
Okay. But
primarily because I still only have two sheaths. I don't think the singing sword came with one.
Okay, that's great. I love that. All right. Okay.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right. So you push aside this curtain with one of your non-sword holding hands. And you push your upper body in. And you see what I described to Gug earlier. There's a really big sort of central techno-mechanical thing that this cable is hooked into. There's sort of a firewood stack of canisters on the wall. And there's some open ones of those out here with cat food in the middle of them. And then there's a very odd-looking, to you, very small individual in that weird robe armor who has sort of shouldered this, what you very straight up recognize as a weapon. And as soon as you push through, this thing spins towards you, and you can't see its face through the mask. But Goro has read terrified body language in the past. And that is 100% what Goro's getting from this guy. You need to go. I will shoot you. And you can you also hear like the kitty capacitor firing up here.
I think this is just fight or flight. So I think Goro's going to go in to try to get that gun offline. You're pointing at him.
Okay.
Not pointing at him.
Okay. All right, yeah, give me, I don't know, give me whatever role you think you want to make to get there and push it offline before he fires it.
Is this an athletics role?
Sure, maybe? That sounds fine.
An 11.
That's successful. Yeah, you, with an 11, you not only, like, clear it, you grab it and sort of take it out of his hands, This dude is, like, cowering back against the wall. And, yeah, just sort of down. The impression you're getting is this is not a combat-ready individual. This is... Right. This is a nerd somebody sent into the feed. Right? I'm going to cut from Goro real quick. Out to Tink.
Yeah.
Tink. The magenta Vernulian is closing on you. It has eaten the second cat. It is the Vernulian equivalent of all out of bubblegum. Right?
Alright. Yeah. Like, at this point, Tink's viewing that as just like a nice slow pitch over the plate. We'll see how this turns out.
Alright. Give me your juiciness here. Let's see it.
Sure. Let's see how that goes. So, where is my thingy?
First, can I get you to do me a thing? Can you give me an agility roll real quick?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to see which one of you gets to go first. I assume it's going to be you. There's a chance it's not.
No, it did not. Roll. Oof. That's a big oof, but it's agility, so I can roll burn. And okay, so that spends burn, but that's also a 6. So it would be a total of 9.
Total of 9?
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. Cool. Yeah, you get to go first.
You're a sweet thing. Close. But jeez. I am just rolling like crap today. Oh wait, that was fighting, not I'm sorry. I clicked the wrong thing. Hold on.
What are you trying to do?
I was going to try and smash him with a hammer. Attack with damage.
Is that not in fact fighting?
I mean, that's fighting, that's I'm pretty I was, like, sure.
I think I get +1 to that. Okay, yeah. So, but what I do add burn to that as well, because it's an agility-based roll. So that would be a 6.
Alright, let me check real quick. I know he's got some sort of defenses. Okay. Yeah. Nope, you successfully hit him with your hammer.
Okay. This is going to be attack plus damage just because I don't have just damage broken out. There should be another roll there for frenzy. Sorry. Brain is mush tonight. So 10, it looks like.
10 Wait, will no. definitely hit with a... 10 will hit with a race. 10 will hit with a race.
Well, no, that never mind. That was supposed to be damage here. Why is that so much higher? Apparently, it just really likes rolling better when I attack. So it's still a 6 to hit, so I don't think there's a raise, so it would just be 15 damage.
Alright, 15 will shake him.
Okay.
So I'm gonna say this is what happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
You run at this dude with the hammer, he will discharge his weapon at you. You feel like a cone of pink force zip past, and it just barely misses you on the way in. And you catch him... You catch him under what should be the ribs, but these are just sacks of fluid, right? With your hammer. And you smash him through the wall of this truck stop. Goro. The wall immediately to your right dissolves inwards, and there is a magenta snakedipus flying through the air, surrounded by rubble, slams into the techno-magical machinery in the middle of the room. The nerd screams.
Is that your friend?
There's no verbalized word response. I don't want to do it into the microphone, but just imagine like continuing screams.
More screams.
As things are observed in the immediate environment. The magenta Vernulian begins to sort of it doesn't stand itself up. It does that really creepy thing you've seen Gug do a couple times, where it just seems to reorient its center of gravity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until it is
very handy, yeah.
Mm-hmm, until it is effectively standing on the ground, right? Oh. The machinery is sparking purple and blue sparks, and the cats are running for their lives.
It's probably the best thing that they could do, yeah.
Gug, You hear all of this behind you. I'm gonna take one action from Gug and or Goro, and then we're gonna switch tracks here.
Just I roll my eyes like, oh my god, we couldn't go one scene without violence, and then I go see what happened.
Okay, you see the scene I have described. You have to fight through like a ground river of cats. Like all of the cats are moving that direction against you, right? But yeah, you see what I just pointed out. The magenta Vernulian has his back to you.
Hey.
I'm gonna ask you as the player, does Gug know about these guys?
I mean, Mike doesn't know about these guys.
No, but I'm gonna give you the option. Sure. Does Gug know about these guys?
I expect that Gug knows about these guys.
These are
presumably to run and hide.
Yes. This is a member of the most elite of the Vernulian military. Like there's special forces, there's special forces, and then there's Captain Fucking America, right? These are those guys, right? Yeah.
Okay, well, in that case, I do not say hey. Right? 'Cause, like, these are the guys that want to kill me, right?
No, they don't want to kill you. Let's be clear about that.
They're here to bring you home.
They don't want to kill you. You're too important to kill.
That's not what I hoped to hear. Okay, sure, okay.
Call out, hey, Gug, look, another Vernulian.
Hey, bro, you found a bro! Bro!
Except he just came through the wall for some reason. Is that what you wanted to show me?
Yeah. Yeah. I gotta go. All right, Tink's calling me in the other room. I'll be right back.
All right, so I think Tink's like on the other side of the hole looking in like, hey, I wasn't done. All
right, Goro, you have a hold of the gun and the nerd. What are you doing? Real quick.
I don't think Goro's going to do anything right now because he has no idea who's fighting who or why people are going through walls.
All right, cool. And now we will cut to Perdicion on his road trip with Valencia. Yeah, she directs you out through the ruins of Old Detroit towards a highway. And she's got you driving west on the highway. And it's... By highway, I mean old Earth highway. So this thing hasn't seen a road crew in probably 300 years.
Yeah, so we're probably like dodging around like sinkholes and like wrecked cars and shit.
Yeah, and it feels good. You're good at this. It feels good to be doing this. You got an old acquaintance at least with you. Someone with whom you've spent some time doing these sorts of things. And she seems to be enjoying herself. Life is good right now. Life is good.
Yeah. Perdicion is feeling like this sense of freedom he hasn't felt in a while, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And she takes you a good while out of town. Probably 20 minutes, which, you know, you're doing probably 45 miles an hour in a straight line after you consider dodging everything, right? But, sure. So you're not super far out of Detroit, but you're far enough that it doesn't look like Detroit anymore, right? It looks like that sort of corridor up there that is not as densely built up. And then, you know, was hit with an apocalypse. And she, after about 20, 25 minutes, or 40, yeah, after about half an hour, she directs you to an exit. You can barely hear, like, she's yelling something at you, but this is an open-air vehicle, and you're doing good speeds. It doesn't come across, but she points and waves, and, you get the idea. And as you hit the ramp, and slow down, you can, what she's saying sort of fades in over the wind. It says, yes, we were supposed to meet them here. We shall go. Ah, yes, there. You see that? And there's a Hy-Vee, like a grocery store, or what used to be a grocery store. And she directs you into the parking lot, and after she starts looking around, and she starts, after about a minute, she gets kind of agitated. She's like, "He was supposed to be here. Wait, supposed to be here waiting." I keep switching from like my Latin American terrible accent to like my Zangief fucking accent, and I can't stop myself.
There were debates over whether or not Valencia was Polish.
Yeah, I went Irish Polish, but really it's Irish Russian. Gotcha.
I'm trying to stick to one. I cannot do it. She says, he was supposed to be here. The meat was here today. Ah, and you see her. She pulls out a communicator, some sort of device out of her hand. Now, I have a question for Matt, because I can't remember. Was Perdicion there when Gug has his interaction with the Vernulian tchotchke dealer?
No. Okay. Perdicion was outside dealing with the geese.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for reminding me. So she pulls out this device, and it's not, you know, geometric in the way that, like, old Earth technology or, like, new military technology meant for human uses, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's much more organic looking in shape, although it is clearly made of some sort of, like, plastic-like material. And she opens it up, and she punches a couple buttons, and she sort of, like, puts it awkwardly up to her head because it doesn't actually fit between the mouth and ear, right? And she's sort of, like, doing the she's still in the vehicle with you, still in the dune buggy, but she's, like, doing the, like, impatient foot tap, I'm on hold sort of motion.
Yeah, she's got, like, one hand over her other ear so she can actually hear what's going on.
And as she gives it the equivalent of several rings, right? Like five, six rings, and then sort of does the equivalent of slamming it shut in a huff, right?
Yeah.
And just as she does that, you notice a figure moving towards you across the parking lot from the other side. They're probably about 30 yards out.
Sure. What do they look like?
Well, at this range, I guess I should check. Does Perdicion have any sort of, like, special vision?
Other than the ability to sense magic, not really.
Okay. Well, give me a notice roll, then.
Okay. That. And, that's a solid 3. We're gonna go ahead and blow up Benny to re-roll that, okay. Just because feels like the time for it. Okay. 9's much better.
Alright, so here's what you get with a 9, right? This is the most stereotypical cloaked stranger in an unfamiliar parking lot you've ever seen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Black cloak, features hidden like deep into the cloak, humanoid in form, average height, average build, with a 9, because that's like a raise plus, right?
I mean, it should just be a straight up raise, but yeah.
There's something even beyond the like nondescriptness of him, of this person. There's something that you're not vibing with in the way that they're walking towards you. Like, you know how in a video game sometimes if the way the legs move,
mm-hmm,
doesn't match up to the ground speed, right?
Yeah, they're glitching in some way, basically. Yeah,
just that, yeah, kind of vibe, just a little bit. It seems a little, like maybe this person is cloaking their appearance for this meet.
Yeah, Perdicion will get out of the truck and be ready. Like, he's not going to jump him, because that's not, they haven't like presented themselves as a direct threat yet, but there's something's catching it off, and it's like it's pinging his senses something fierce.
Okay, all right. Valencia spots the person the same time you do, and she gives like a smile and a wave essentially, and pops herself out of the car on the other side, and she starts to move forward and waves you forward.
If you want to move forward with her, that's fine.
Okay. The figure moves until they reach a sort of clearing between some burned out cars in this parking lot. And Valencia walks up and says in a very cheery voice, "I thought you were going to be late." And this person doesn't respond. Like, there's a very subtle head nod as the only acknowledgement, and then they turn to face you, and you get the feeling, you still can't see like a face under the hood, mm-hmm. but you get the feeling that they are assessing you.
I mean, Perdicio's gonna stare back and do the exact same thing, try and get the measure of nice. This being.
Nice. Do you want to give me a roll for that, or are we gonna...
I mean, is this another notice roll we want to go through, or...
Yeah, sure. Give me a notice roll.
How's a 14?
A 14, yeah. So now that you're closer, you can definitely tell that this person is literally projecting an image. Not like, I'm trying to act like a tough guy. Like, they're literally projecting an image, mm-hmm. right?
Can I tell if it's psionic, magic, what have you?
It is not magical, and if it's psionic, it's not psionic in, like, it's not a thing that you're familiar with being done with psionics.
Okay, got it.
You do know, like, with a 14, you do know that there are various cloaking technologies.
Sure.
Of widely varying effectiveness, right? This would be one of the more sophisticated versions you've ever run into. To make yourself look like something else fairly convincingly. But yeah. The other thing you're noticing is that as you get closer, do you remember the odd shimmer that was coming off the monkey mech before... before it was sort of spotted proper?
Yes.
It's not exactly that, but around this person is the same sort of vibe. Where, like, it looks like those like Instagram photos where people Photoshop themselves to have different proportions. Uh-huh. But like all around the body of this thing.
So is the actual image that I'm getting of this thing when I'm kind of perceiving through the projector bigger or smaller than the figure?
Bigger.
Person. Yeah. Bigger. He'll flex his claws just a tiny bit.
Okay. The Valencia will notice you doing that and like give you a playful like slap on the wrists. Like put those away. These are unnecessary. Unnecessary.
I am not trusting of somebody who appears to us under cloak. Somebody who's trying to conceal their appearance out here in the middle of nowhere.
Ah, you worry too much. It is a standard operating procedure for these things. Trust me, I know.
It is dishonorable.
Yes, but aren't we all? Anyway, she turns back to this figure and says, "We have agreed on the price. I told you I cannot guarantee this, but I have brought someone with direct knowledge. Before we parley, I want to see the money." And the figure gives another acknowledging nod, and the whole view sort of shimmers in a way that gives away the game. Like, if you didn't already know this was a cloak, it's definitely a cloak now.
Yeah.
And the hands, air quotes, of the figure produce essentially a suitcase, right? Mm-hmm. and they set it on the ground in front of themselves, and then they take two human step equivalents back.
Glance at Valencia. What are you trading? What are you trying to buy from them, or what are they buying from you?
Oh, we are merely sharing information. You will momentarily. And she moves forward, and she picks up the case, and she takes a step back to be in line with you, and she opens it up, and she looks inside, and she looks pleased at what she sees. She closes it, and she lets it hang on her side. And she says, yes, ask your questions. And the figure in front of you, at this point, turns to face directly at you, Perdicion. And there is a voice that comes out that is very clearly, like, artificial vocoder voice. And it says, you have met the one named Gug, yes?
That D&D podcast is released under a Creative Commons 4.0 attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Feel free to share with friends, but don't cut anything out and don't sell our work. Please visit us at thatdndpodcast.com or on Twitch or YouTube at thatdndpodcast. Intro music is Now We Ride, metal version by Alexander Nakarada. Outro music is Shadow Rain, also by Alexander Nakarada. Nakarada's music can be found on freestockmusic.com, on Bandcamp, and on creatorchords.com. Nakarada can also be found on YouTube and Patreon at anakarada. Rifts is a role-playing system published by Palladium Books. Savage Worlds and this game's Savage Rifts combination is owned and published by Pinnacle Entertainment. All other copyrighted content is owned by its associated copyright holder.